Save the family dollar to win your job will not be heard tonight, so that we may send shout-outs to Brian Henniger on the following.
Usually you would hear the dulcet tones of Mr. Gordon Pepper, but he is not here due to a personal emergency. So I get to hang out with my brother from another mother, Chico. How are you?
I'm all right, but, you know, okay, how long have we been watching game shows? Our entire life, right?
Excuse me. Just out of diapers, if you know what I mean. About five,
yeah.
You know what I mean. Okay. Bright Lights, Big City, there. Yeah. Right. So about 1972 on, for me it's about 52 years.
I've watched it since I was watching the original run of Blockbusters on NBC. I don't think I've ever seen such a face heel turn as I've seen on Deal or No Deal Island these last 3 weeks.
Maybe we will get to that.
Face heel. We'll get
to that. And by the way, we are going to have our final three in Jeopardy, a legitimately shocking exit on Survivor. Drag Race pulling shenanigans. Oh, God, were there shenanigans. And we're going to have a review of Wild Card Kitchen. And we're going to play. Since you know what? Congratulations on you becoming a degenerate gambler, sir.
Oh, thank you. Oh, and the thing of it is, I've discovered in the three days that sports gambling has been legal in North Carolina, that I have an incredible gift, because I will bet on a favorite and they will lose.
Well, welcome. Welcome. Excuse me. Why do you think my FanDuel and DraftKings accounts are like within cents? You know, literal cents. You know, but that's okay. But we're going to play some higher or lower, but we have a lot of news to go through, including the media ho report of all media ho reports. I mean a media pro.
Oh, yes. And we will do it all, because from somewhere in America, the world's strongest game show podcast, WLTI, is on. Let's go.
Whee! Hit the music. Welcome to the 436th edition of the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast here at 5N1 Studios. My name is Jason Block. Gordon Pepper is out. I'm here with Chico Alexander. Not enough time for frivolities. So hit the board, please.
Well, the board, I got your board right here.
No.
The other board. That's staying in as a punishment to myself.
Yeah,
we have our final three. But before we get to the final three, we need to go
to
back
the final,
a bit so we can figure out how we got to the final three.
So on Thursday, March 7th, we had semifinal number one, Ike Barinholtz, Ben Chan, and Jared Watson. At the end of Single Jeopardy, Jared had 7,400, Ben had 6,800, and Ike had 1,600.
I was a little concerned.
Yeah, but in the second round,
Ike got back on his game, got 10,400 to Ben's 15,200, and Jared with 3,600, still anybody's game.
As we go to the final Jeopardy clue of ancient drama. From the 470s BC, Aeschylus's earliest surviving work has this title. He'd fought them repeatedly in the preceding years. This was tough. Tough. Ike said one of the Spartans. He was wrong. Bet it all. Jared was first and said, what is the online test? Do I just take the online test? This could be you. Very good message, but wrong. Ben bet,
what are the censors?
Which is true. Could have been wrong, but the answer was, what is the Persians?
Again, classics is not a strong suit of mine.
Right, but Ben only bet 5,601, which would have 5,601.
That is the correct bet.
Yeah, but you see, Ike had the wrong bet, didn't he? Looking
Ike
at it,
Ike did poopy.
Yes,
you are
because
not supposed to bet everything in regular play, let alone tournament play. You're supposed to bet to cover Ben. The correct bet would have been 4801.
7801?
4801.
Yeah, 4801, which wouldn't have helped. It wouldn't have helped, but it would have been the better bet.
It would have been the better bet, but ultimately...
No, it would have been the better bet, but that means that Ben is in finalist slot number one.
Yes, now finalist slot number two will go to Emily Sands or Yogesh Rout or David Sibley. And I'll tell you right now, I know all three of these people.
Going into
the final, it's Yogesh's game to lose. He has 21,400. David has 6,200. Emily has 6,800. Final Jeopardy category, literature and religion. This is going to be interesting. Let's see how you do with this, Jay.
The clue. This city, now in Turkey, is the addressee of one of the New Testament epistles and a setting for the Comedy of Errors, which, again, did not have any clue about this. So, Ken asked David, was he happy to see a religion clue? And David said, I'm so tired.
Everyone's not wrong. Everyone is, well, David and Emily are wrong.
Right, and
Yogesh is, what a thesis. Your bracelet was my lucky charm, Emily.
Was that, we all have friendship bracelets. Oh, Ken, you all have ravishing bracelets. This is fun. It's like the Eras Tour up in here. Emily says, yes, David says, exactly like that. Well, I think Yogesh's has worked better than the other two, I'm afraid. So Yogesh is in slot number two.
And then we are down to the final slot, which will go to either Luigi De Guzman or Troy Meyer or our hero, Brian Henniger.
Unfortunately for Brian.
Oh, no.
He got caught between both Luigi and Troy. And, okay, he missed Ink Master. Sorry, dude.
I was. My head was buried in my hands there. I'm sorry.
Yes, and...
Brian, I love you. You're my brother, but I was buried in my hands.
Right, exactly. What happened was is that Brian made a few mistakes, and he just... And the other players just capitalized on them, for
but
real.
Here's the thing. They had a perfect Final Jeopardy, a perfect Double Jeopardy, 30 up, 30 down.
Right, but again... Troy hit question seven, did a true daily double. Troy hit another daily, hit both daily doubles and got it right. But Brian got the last question and he fought to the end. It was Troy with 28.4, Luigi with 18.6, and Brian with 6,200.
Now, mathematically, Brian is still in it, but damn, he has a hill.
Oh, especially in this clue. Word origins. A radical in an 1883 failed uprising in Germany, Ludwig von Rochow, coined the term for acts taken for practical reasons, not ethics. And one got it right. First of all...
Nobody got it right. First of all, Brian, what is... I love you, Mom, Dad, Katie, Danny, and Dave, Gigi.
Good game. That's good game.
Yeah, I know.
Good, because he knew he was Dunsky.
Interestingly enough, he finished in second.
That's correct, because it didn't matter, really.
Yeah,
Luigi said, what is pragmatism, but bets the bag, which, by the way, was not the right bet.
No. The correct bet... Because you want to preserve your position while locking out Brian. So the correct bet would have been 9,801. That the you lock Brian out, and you are forcing Troy to get it right.
Which he didn't. But 9,801 wouldn't have helped either way. Troy, the answer is realpolitik. Okay. So unfortunately, well, or fortunately, Brian is finished in the top nine and has $10,000 to his credit.
That's $10,000 more than he came up with. So, you know.
Well, yeah. And it is Troy Meyer, teammate Yogesh Rausch, by the way. And
Ben Chan.
Okay. Now,
before we get to the final, this is for you, Brian.
Moment of silence. Moment gone. Next.
Okay, it's time for the final. No, Brian, we love you. And once the tournament is over, you're welcome to explain your tournament experience, because you have had a really good time, and we were glad to see you do what you did. And congratulations.
Oh, and by the way, glad to be a part of your adventure too. However,
right.
Small.
Exactly. So it's right now as of Tuesday, we are in the best of three final. Okay.
The first to three, not best
first,
of three.
First to three finals. So we can go as many as seven. So it's Ben, Troy, Yogesh. Game one.
Let me tell you what happened in game one, because Troy found the first daily double under a $1,000 clue, bet the farm, and at the half, he has 5,800, Ben has 6,000, Yogesh has 3,600.
Mm-hmm.
In double jeopardy, Troy finds a daily double, bets 9,000, and doubles up, and then Troy bets 9,000 again, no 6,000, and loses it.
Because
so,
he was close. He was close. So at the end of final,
the end of double.
Troy has 22,000, Ben has 10,000, and Yogesh has 15,600. And I'm going to actually quote Yogesh after this particular thing, because he wrote about this. Okay?
Final Jeopardy category is World Theater. And here is the clue. This 1867 play has a reindeer hunt and a king dwelling in Snowy Mountain, but its title character also spends time in Morocco and Egypt.
I had no idea of this clue, did you?
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Classics is not my strong suit. Mm-hmm. And yet here are all these classical, academia. It's for everybody. It's not for me. But anywho.
Okay. Now I'm gonna read this. Okay. Now the thing is, Ben gets it right and adds 15,601. Okay.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry. 5,601. Okay. So we called 1105. 1105.
Yeah,
okay.
that puts Ben at 15,601, leading Yogesh by a dollar, probably studying Yogesh's gameplay, because Yogesh doesn't like to bet anything in the final for some reason.
No. It's just that he bet wrong here.
And he did.
Because he got it right, but bet zero. Okay.
He didn't have a chance at it, though. I mean,
no. Can I read what he wrote, please?
Tell me what he wrote.
This is from his Facebook review of the game. When it came, quote, and quoting Yogesh, when it came time to wager for Final Jeopardy, I initially wrote 6,401, the correct bet, if I ask me. Okay. But then I thought, you can only win if Troy gets it wrong. Troy understands rational wagering strategy and will sure make a cover bet. If he's right, game over. You need to position yourself for if he's wrong. Well, I crossed out the 6,401, replaced it with zero, and finalized the wager. Then Megan came over to pass along the request that I rewrite the wager to make it show up more cleanly. At this point, I suddenly realized I neglected to take Ben into account. Had it been possible, I would have switched back to my original wager, but it was too late. The die was cast. And then the second it was over, he told Troy, and I quote, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever done," referring to my wager. Ken kicked off the post-game chat with, "So that wager," and I immediately responded, "Yeah, that was stupid." So, yeah, he knew he done beep up, okay?
Yeah, and as a result, Ben has the first match point.
No. What happened with...
Troy got it wrong, unfortunately.
Troy got it wrong. He said...
who is Hedda Gabler? Or what is Hedda
Gabler? Hedda Gabler. And by the way, and he goes, I for one welcome our new Troy Overlord. He's trying to be cute. Yogesh is playing the face role pretty good. So, at the end of round... Yes, he is, actually. So, okay. Ben wins by a dollar, and he has 1 point going into tonight's game.
Yes. And at the beginning of tonight's game, again, Troy finds an early daily double, doubles up, and at the end of the round, has 5,800 to 5,600 for Ben, and 4,800 for Yogesh. It is still all to play for.
Okay,
and then, oh God. Then everybody decided my balls are bigger than yours.
Right, so Yogesh has 9,200 going in with 17th century writing and says, okay, I think I'm doing this correctly. Bring it. Crowd laughs. I don't think he means what that means. So then he goes, all right, true daily double then. And the
he's clue, overthinking this thing.
And the clue is, there we go.
In his 1624 history of Virginia and New England, he included the famous story of his rescue.
So Yogesh goes, oh, I don't know. I'll just get a rand name. Who is, John Smith. And he goes, it is you, John Smith, as you very well know. So Yogesh was playing along.
Yogesh knows how to play the game, but he has absolutely no people skills, I don't think.
No. So then Troy has 21,800 and finds the second daily double in official state stuff and says, you know what? Anything you can do, I can do better. Gets it. Bets it all on this.
Okay.
Arizona State Fossil is this tree product. Arizona is also home to a forest full of it.
Jay, we talked about this on the BS Big Show. Where did I spend 3 of my formative years?
In Arizona.
That's right. Petrified wood.
Troy doubles up to 43-6, and it's Katie barred the door from there. It's a locked game, but we got to play it out.
Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now, if he bets nothing, because Javeri is a here, who is a lovely lady, by the way,
mm-hmm.
has the record for most money going into Final Jeopardy. Troy just beat it.
Right, in this tournament season, yes.
Yeah.
But the category is Books of the Bible, so let's play it through.
All right, let's play it through. Here's your clue. This book is named for a tribe of Israel that carried out judgment of the idolaters of the golden calf. Ooh, me, pick me. Pick
go ahead.
Me. I'm a Buddhist, but I know this.
Go ahead, Gentile. It's all right.
See? Okay. First of all, I'm a quarter Jewish on my mother's side.
That's fine. You're a tribesman. That's count. Excuse me. If you're a quarter Jewish on your mother's side, then you're Jewish. So there you go.
Yeah. We descended from a long line of Spanish Jews that came to the New World to avoid the Spanish Inquisition. True story. Anyway.
You know what? The Inquisition. What a show. Anyway.
What is Leviticus?
Yeah, everyone got it right. So Ben bet nothing. Yogesh did the smart thing and doubled up. Just
weird flex, but go on.
Right, yes. And then Troy gets it right. Bets nothing. So as we go into tomorrow night's game on Thursday, it's Ben 1, Troy 1, Yogesh nothing. Oh, boy. So this could go 4, 5,
This could 6? go 4. This could go 5. This could go six. This could go the distance.
With these three, it could go the distance, really.
I would love to see it, and I'm sure the folks...
Hold on. So, let's see. So, three, four, five. So, by next week, we will have a winner.
Yes. Either night or sooner. But we will have a winner by the time we talk about it next week.
Oh, and by the way, and put it to you this way. After Jeopardy, after this, we're going to have, put it to you this way, one of the biggest showdowns of all time. Minus one person who may or may not show up anyway. Okay? But
we will talk more about that later. But right now, we have to go island hopping.
Which island? The one with the cases or the one with the tribe that can't shoot straight?
The one with the tribe that can't shoot straight. So we are going to the island with the fake idol, and somebody has to answer for said fake idol, and Banu is going to be the one who says, okay, who didn't tell me about the fake idol? And meanwhile, here comes Tiffany trying to calm him down. Just calm down. It's okay.
And of course, Banu is, you know, emotional.
Really emotional.
Right. So one person on, I believe it was the, one person found the idol on the other tribe.
Okay, right? It was Siga who was going on an idol hunt. Mariah pointed out it was a tricky dynamic, but okay. Jem found the beware advantage. She was able to slip it into her shorts without anybody noticing, which is a classic move now.
Right.
And she was tasked with digging up a box, and once the box is discovered, she learns that she's lost her vote until her tribe loses immunity. That's about right, isn't it?
Yes, and the thing is that until they lose immunity. So let us get to, we get to the immunity challenge, which was another... interesting one we've seen before, by the way. Okay. Teams will jump off a platform, go up a set of crates, and dive back into the water, then go over a rolling tube, over a net, and then dig out sandbags. Once they find sandbags, they have to put the old sandbags on five different trays. Five different landing areas. First team to do it will get tarp and tools. Second team will get kind of
tarp. Not as big as the winning team, but of course, do they have to go to tribal, the losing team has to forfeit their flint, but they can win it back if they win the next
round. Right. Now, Randon was in the morning was feeling nerve pain in his arm that he couldn't, you know, he wasn't feeling very well. So he got checked out and said, you know, you may have slept wrong, but we don't know what's going on. So what happened was, is that the team of Nami got it one, I believe, was Nami one. That's right. Nami won and got the bigger tent. It came down to Siga and Yanu and Q and Tiffany
set up a tie.
Yes, Q and Tiffany were going back and forth. However, it was Siga that won, so Yanu was
going back to tribal. But before y'all go back to camp,
Jeff, we're going on a boat.
Yeah. Okay, so Nami picks Liz from their tribe, Ben from Siga, and Banu from Yanu.
And everyone's going, he's got the biggest bleeping mouth down there. He's going to spill everything. Great. Just great.
That's what we didn't need. Yeah. Okay.
So Ben, Liz, and Banu go to the island, and they say, good news. Two of you will have a shot of winning an advantage. Draw rocks, and the blue move on, white goes back to camp. And then, of course, Banu, weep, 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 weep. blah, vomits his guts out. Right on, okay? So, blah, okay. Vomit, and Liz is going, this guy's a bleeping moron. Okay, I'll listen, right? Okay. So yeah. It goes down to Banu and Ben. So they have to go and solve a cube, make, what was it, 6 pieces into a cube or 9 pieces or whatever it was, in the allotted time. If you do that, you get an advantage.
They do that, they get an advantage, but if they fail to complete it in the allotted time, they both lose their vote.
So what happens is, Ben... Banu. So no one gets an advantage, and Bono's like, crap, I'm going home. And then he goes back to camp and basically goes, weep, 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 I'm going home. Wait, weep, 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 I'm going home. But wait! Jeff goes into the Yanu camp. Actually, before that, he goes into the Nami camp.
They're going to look at his arm again, Randon's arm again.
They did research. They looked at his arm. They looked at Randon's arm and said, look, it could be anything from a pinched nerve to a bulging disc. So for your safety, you're out. You've been removed. And then Jeff tells the Yanu tribe, and they are relieved. No tribal. And we'll find out what happens if the Yanu survive next week. Oh, well, hey, Gordon, we thought you were gone for the week, but okay. Glad to have you here.
I wanted to be in for a couple of segments, and I hear that we're going to a different sort of island that's not Survivor, that's full of tomfoolery, and no one is safe. Well, no kidding.
Right.
Okay, so at the top of the show, you weren't here for this, G, but Jay and I were sort of like, I remember watching game shows for a long time. We've been watching Claudia Jordan on our televisions for the last 25 years. We saw her on The Price is Right. We saw her on Deal or No Deal. You might have met her once, Jason.
Possibly. Don't know.
When did she become this heel?
I don't know, but right now we need to go there. So what happened this week?
Okay, this week we are going to toss more sandbags. This time we're tossing sandbags at values ranging from $25,000 to $2 million. They would swing down from the canopy, sort of like a Fear Factor meets Survivor sort of situation, tossing their sandbags at values representing $25,000 to $2 million. There are also 2 steals available if you are fortunate enough to get them. So here's how it went down. Rob, because he's Rob freaking Mariano, got $1
million.
Kim got $50,000. Amy got $375,000. Dawson has $500,000. Claudia has $250,000. Miranda has $175,000. Nick has $125,000. Jordan has $350,000. Stephanie got one of the 2 available steals.
Ooh. Aaron gets $45,000 and Alyssa gets $150,000. So it's Aaron, and who does she steal it from?
She steals it from Claudia. So Claudia and Aaron are your bottom 2, and it is up to the winner of the challenge, that would be Rob,
and G, who is shocked that he
there
put Claudia
gambling in this establishment.
Your winnings, Monsieur. Thank you. No.
Yes, but that is a horrible, horrible, horrible move, which we'll explain later.
Oh, it is a horrible move. Exactly. So Claudia. And, of course, with all the other amounts, it's penny, dollar, 10, 25, 50, 75, 100, 300, 500, 750. So, she picks number 1 out of 20, right? I believe it is, yes.
Correct. And the first round is 9 cases going off the board. First case off the board, $1 million.
But again, that, well, but you go, that doesn't matter. This game doesn't matter. I get that the value amounts, so you want to play it up, but the value amounts don't matter at all.
Yeah, they don't. They really don't.
They
really
don't.
Okay. So next is 50K, then 50, then 10, 100, 300, 250, 375, and the last one, she opened it herself, 45K.
Just for old time's sake.
Okay.
Okay, so we have 10, so we have 9 cases opened. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them are big numbers. The other 4 are little ones. The first offer is 57,000.
Yeah, well, okay, so there should be 5 that are higher and 4 that are lower, then, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So obviously you keep going. That is clearly, you don't want to play those odds when you think you can get the odds to be better. So clearly you continue.
And that's exactly what she does. Now she has to get rid of another 8 cases. $750, $1, $150,000, $350,000, $75, $25, $500, and $125. That leaves, if my calculations are correct, 1 penny, $500,000.
So she was offered $180,000 and took the deal.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, wait. Before you, okay, you're glossing over, you're going quickly over this. You're going over the stuff and highlighting the stuff that's not important, and you're quickly glossing over the stuff that is important.
Okay.
Go for it.
So, rewind.
Okay.
Offer is $180,000.
Yes.
There is 1 case that is higher than that amount. There are 2 cases that are lower than that amount.
Correct.
Numbers say you deal.
Numbers say you deal.
Which she does.
She does.
As long as she does not have $500,000 in her case, she is good and someone else is going bye-bye.
Yeah, well, about that.
About that. The final case is now worth $505,000 and Claudia is going back to Los Angeles, California Island because she did have the $500,000 case. Oops.
Wah, wah.
Now we move on from the island to the workroom. Now, Gordon, this one really bothered me this week. I'll explain what I mean. Okay. So after the
last elimination.
Right. We get into a maxi challenge. That is the yearly get out the vote campaign. Okay. Plasma got eliminated, as we told from the bad lip sync. And what happened was, is that we had Jamal Sims choreographing the Queens to the song Power to talk about the getting out the vote. Yeah.
Yeah. Power.
And right. And they write their own lyrics and the runway was True Colors. Now, Plain Jane gave her immunity to Nymphia Wind.
Right.
Mistake number one.
No, not a mistake at all. Absolutely not.
Okay, tell me what.
Okay, keep going, but I will explain what all the issues were in this episode, because this is the episode that makes you go scratch your head and go, producers, what ganja were you on when you
stylized this episode? Yes, exactly. Okay.
The producers
what
were hanging out with
La
Ganja
and
Strancha before the show.
Right.
Whatever they were doing. But I'm wondering how this got past standards and practices anyway. Keep going.
Okay. So Jane offers her immunity potion to Nymphia Wind. She accepts it. She's safe. Then
Brilliant move, by the way, Jay. That was not dumb at all. That was absolutely brilliant, because you got to sort of think in Plain Jane's mind, if you win, it's not really going to be competition for me later on down the line. I can beat her. Therefore, let me save her and get someone else that I think will be in the bottom, that I think is going to be problematic for me, at least giving them the scare or their life, and if so, knocking them out completely.
Okay.
That is a brilliant move. That is a very good, very Machiavellian move there.
Right.
And
it is, but there is a problem which we'll find out later on down the line.
Okay. Yes. Okay. In the spirit of united we stand, divided we fall, RuPaul declares that no one will be eliminated this week.
And here's where the problem starts.
Correct. Go on, G. Let him have it.
Why are you going to give an immunity potion and completely take out the strategy of the immunity? Of course, if you think you're not in danger, you're going to hold on until the last episode. This could be a surprise shock, but why? It would have been much more fun as a viewer to make people cringe and go, well, wait a second, now all of a sudden you're moving somebody. That's a play. You bring that in there because of a potential power play like something like this. If you are not prepared or aware for something like this to happen, where the person that you give it to doesn't come into trouble, then don't introduce a twist. I get it. It's there for that person to be safe, but this is a dumb payoff.
Yeah,
You should have done. If this was really what you wanted to do, move that to next week's episode and put whatever you're going to exchange it with in this week's episode.
Yeah, I'm wondering because again, these people are not dumb. They take the time to plan each season out before the cameras start rolling. They know what's going to happen, what's going to happen, and who's it going to happen to. What the hell was this episode about?
Well, I'll tell you what it was. They were just trying to get rid of the immunity potion for immunity potion's sake. That's it.
But Jay, the potion was going to be gone this episode anyway.
Right.
This is the last time they could use it.
Right. So
the potion was going to be gone. So why are you sticking a non-elimination where you're specifically using a potion to save somebody to get somebody else eliminated?
Exactly.
That is pure reality strategy. You should have been able to do it. The producers, I don't know what the heck happened there, but that was BUM dumb. And I'm really hoping what happened, because we've seen some of the shenanigans happen in earlier seasons where RuPaul's vision of the top two, who wind up being the bottom two, all of a sudden you are saved. You can use Candy Muse and Simone as an example of that, where they wind up being the top two. You can use Evie Oddly and Brooklyn Heights as an example of that, where they wind up being in the top two. And there's a couple more. So now all of a sudden, if you think, uh-oh, these two are going to be in the bottom, and we can't let that happen, so hey, everybody's safe, we'll get a winner, yay. In that sort of episode, where from a Machiavellian standpoint, you're screaming for that potion to be used, and you're going to have some delicious fun and a shocking upset. This is what reality is about. And if you're a top runner queen, don't stick yourself in that position where you're going to get the chop. Sorry, I'm grousing over this episode because for me, if Plain Jane happens to lose, and she happens to lose in a lip sync to someone that should have been in the bottom in this episode, and you can pretty much figure out who the bottom two were going to be, which is why Nymphia Wynn got saved, I'm going to call foul on the whole entire season, and I'm sticking a gigantic asterisk on this one. The talent is fantastic, but this reeks of producer interference.
Ooh,
I mean,
wow.
In best, I'm taking this lightly. In best, it is, well, we didn't see that coming. But in worst, if you follow the pattern, this is like interference times 30. On the producer's part to get somebody that they want. Yuck. Yuck, 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 yuck.
So who do you think they were working towards? Or who do you think they were, shall we say, enhancing the competition for then?
I don't know yet, but I guess we'll see in the up and coming episodes.
Okay, so you're calling an asterisk on this season because of this already.
I'm not calling an asterisk yet. I am going to say that there is potential for an asterisk.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
There's asterisk potential.
There is asterisk.
And let's move on.
Okay. Just for the sake of completeness.
Just between our squirrel friends, who would you put at the bottom?
Who would I put at the bottom? I would have put...
For this episode.
For this episode...
Not for the whole entire season, for this episode.
For this episode only, I would have put Q, and I would have put Nymphia Wind, if she wasn't...
Well, but Nymphia Wind was saved. So
if she wasn't immune, I would... Well, okay, I would have put Dawn and Q. Dawn and Q.
No, I would have put Dawn and Mia, actually.
I sort of disagree with both of you, but I think Q definitely, for me, definitely would have been in the bottom. I could see Q and Dawn, but again, if it's Q and Dawn, I certainly don't think Dawn's going to win. Q's got a shot at winning, but I don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't agree with you, but I agree with you. You just said that.
Yeah. So okay. I'll put it this way. If Q happens to knock out Plain Jane, because I don't see Mia or Dawn getting to the finale. But I do see Q getting there. If Q happens to knock out Plain Jane, I'm going to asterisk this season.
Oh, yeah, because we all know that Plain Jane is the favorite.
Right now she is.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
We've seen crazy things happen before.
Okay,
one more note,
and then we have to move on. Yes. Morphine Love, Dion, and Sophia Cristal were announced as the top two. They lip sync to Major Look by Meghan Trainor. Sophia Cristal wins. And now we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're moving
on. Yeah, for something that was completely pointless. Yay.
Yes. Speaking of winners and things that are not pointless, hey, the traitors still have to kill people. Well, one person. One person's getting killed. Everybody else is either getting spared or, well, a traitor. But let's see what we got here. As a reminder, your final six were Kate Chastain, Mercedes MJ Javid, Chris Tamborello, CT, Trishelle Canatella, Sandra Diaz-Twine, and Cherie Whitfield. Going into the final meeting, Cherie Whitfield gets whacked.
Okay.
Which leaves Sandra, MJ, CT, Kate, and Trishelle. Remember, Kate is a traitor. So now we get to the point of the game where we have to, well, first of all, we have a last mission. You have an hour to get on a ship and raise a big flag to add 30,000 to the pot. And along the way, there are three extra flags. The first two are each worth 5,000, and the third is worth 10,000. So they complete the task and put the final jackpot at 208,100. Now we have the final vote, and in perhaps a shocker of shockers, they get rid of the pride and joy of Fayetteville, North Carolina, Sandra Diaz-Twine.
I'm not sure if that was a shocker of shocker, to be honest.
Not really, yeah. Because that was the right move. Because, you know, if she stayed, she was going to win.
Right. So then...
Well, I mean, if anybody stays, they're going to win. I mean, that's sort of silly at this point, but yeah.
Well, we'll see, because it's time for the Fire of Truth. As a reminder of how the Fire of Truth works, each of the players can decide to end the game or banish somebody else. With this thought in mind, if a traitor is still in the game, they take all of the money. Kate, well, obviously wants to end the game. Everybody else wants to banish again. So they have another vote, and Kate is banished. They don't know it, but they've already won the game.
So what have MJ, they?
Yep. MJ decides he wants to end the game. DT and Trishelle want to banish again. DT voted for MJ. MJ voted for Trishelle. Trishelle voted for CT. So now they have a deadlock, and now they have to revote. Trishelle changes her vote to MJ. CT and Trishel are left. They can't get rid of each other, so that effectively ends the game. And they are not traitors, so they split the money.
So they get $104,050.
Right.
Each.
Correct.
So a faithful wins.
Faithful wins. That, you know what? And again, this, they showed how you played the game. And the game was, I don't know about you, but I thought this season was a lot better than season one. And I loved season one.
I think part of the issues I had with the season was the fact that you may have had an alliance show up in the game that was playing as an alliance and not necessarily as a game. And I'm talking about the end.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, congratulations, CT and Trishel. Spend it wisely. Don't do anything I would, but...
Well, let me ask you something. Do you want to see anybody from this season back for season three that was banished but not murdered?
No.
No? Okay.
You know what? I'm ready. I'm ready for the season one sort of lineup, which is like half reality all-stars and half regular schmucks like us. What can I say? I am a fan of regular people.
So are we all. But do we have regular people on Wildcard Kitchen?
No, we don't. We have professional chefs putting up $5,000 of their own money in a game that is similar to, but legally distinct from, poker. Otherwise, I would call this, what would happen if Gordon Pepper made a culinary competition? Because here's the thing. Three chefs come in with $5,000 of their own money, although I suspect there's going to be like a Ben Stein sort of situation where they are given $5,000 and however much they leave with is
what they get back. Yeah. We'll put it to you this way. Do you see my hands of their own money? Do you see that?
I hear your air quotes there, Jay.
But keep going.
$5,000 of their money after they get their $5,000 stipend for an appearance fee.
Exactly.
Very good.
Sort of like the people's court. Remember, everybody gets a stipend fee and the difference is taken out.
I think you said it. I'm sorry. When Ben Stein's money, when Ben Stein got a budget and whatever he wound up with, he walked away from. So yes. Technically, yes, he put $5,000 of his own money, but it was given to him by production.
Correct. So they have three hands. First hand has a $500 ante. Everybody puts up $500, and they get two community cards, a dish, and a time limit. Each player gets a wild card, and they can either bet more of their money, up to $500, on whether or not they can accomplish it with the wild card. Or if they're not confident, they can fold and just watch the other two go at it. At the end of the hand, their dishes are judged by another chef. And the best dish gets the entire pot. Hand two is played the exact same with an additional community card of a required ingredient and increased stakes. The second ante is $1,000. The third hand, the player with the lowest stack sets the ante. Like on the premiere, we had a player with $2,500 remaining for the final round. That's the ante. You're essentially going all in. Somebody is leaving with nothing. And at the end, the chefs go home with whatever money they win. It can be all the money. It can be some of the money. It can be no money.
This is sort of a baby between Chopped, Poker, and the show with Cutthroat Kitchen.
Yes.
Okay. Unfortunately, this is sort of a yucky mess. It doesn't work for me. It's too confusing to me.
It's very hard to follow. And another thing is, they don't. You notice how every show on Food Network has like this dedicated set where everybody is, where it's just an elaborate production. They do not have an elaborate set. They use the Food Network in-house kitchens right above the Chelsea Market in New York City. So it kind of comes off as cheap, if that makes any sense.
Well, but then again, this is definitely not a Gordon Pepper show, because Gordon Pepper would not create anything so, as Jay said, convoluted, I believe is the correct word.
Convoluted, yeah. Yes. Convoluted, yes. Exactly. It's like, okay.
Poker seems simple in its own progress.
Right.
I get what they were trying to do. They almost had something here. It doesn't work. The execution is just not there. You know, in terms of that. And Jay's also writing something else. There are no stakes. Yay, chefs are playing with $5,000. Thing, what do you deal? Chop is $10,000 or nothing. You know, you really want to, and I get it, each chef brings $5,000. Those chefs, like, sleep on a pillow with $5,000. Make it interesting.
$5,000 is walking around money to these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I get what they're trying to do. They didn't go hard enough, and you could have made this something. It feels a lot more, it doesn't feel like Chop to me. It feels more guy's grocery games. And if I want to see something like that, that's the show that I watch. The good is host is good. The production values are good. You got the top chefs on there, so that's good. The bad is the execution of the gameplay. You're right. This should have been something Gordon Pepper was brought into to fix. Because this could be and should be fixed. It's got all the elements. It's got all of the elements to a good cake, but the cake just did not come out of the oven too well. C-.
Yeah, C- is the grade, and I'll go even one step further if I can put on my cynical bastard hat.
Sure.
Okay, we all remember what show used to air on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock after Chopped.
What was it?
Super Chef Grudge Match with Darnell Ferguson.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you saying this may have been rushed to air?
You know what? The fact that they used the Food Network kitchens as the set, and all they had to do was come up with a table and 3 custom decks of cards. I think this was rushed to production to fill that void.
You know, I do like the custom decks of cards, but again, rules are convoluted, and instead of poker, do you, like, make it a variant. Every single episode, you do a different variant. That would be fun. Play baseball. Play like 4-up. Play elevator. Play and again, explain what these things are.
Jay?
Yeah, you know what though? I'm even gonna go a little further. It's a D+ for me. This could have been so much better, but if you make it more straightforward, this is more, it's like this isn't cardboard wild card kitchen. This is more like Go Fish. Literally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go fish in the kitchen.
It's like they were looking to play Pokemon. They ended up playing Uno. Anyway.
Let's quickly go to the season premiere of Password.
Yep.
Which was promoted on The Tonight Show with Elmo and Cookie Monster.
Yep. And playing with Jimmy and Kiki. Sorry. Playing with Jimmy and Emmy Award winning host Kiki Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
I will put some respect on that name, is Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello. In the first game, Sean, who is playing with Jimmy, wins and goes on to the bonus round where he sweeps it for the $25,000. Then you have Wendy versus Jamie. Wendy was almost on Super Password, but it got canceled. And Wendy has elite password skills and gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 passwords for $7,000 and a chance at a redemption word for Double or Nothing. Okay, Jay?
Yeah.
Timepiece.
Watch.
Gordon, watch. Yep. Gordon?
Okay.
Watch.
Stare.
Jason, yeah. Grandfather.
Clock.
It was clock.
Okay.
But everybody had a good time. It was a really good show. It still is a good show. I like this. I don't know about y'all. I like the new elements. I have no problem with them.
What? There's new rules?
Well, there's the shoot the moon where you can get 8 points if you can get the word in one password.
Okay.
And each team can only use it once. And then there are category passwords in round two.
Okay.
So it
takes pieces of the old password and some of the old variants that they had. I'm completely fine with it.
I like it. I love password. I'm going to say it. I love password.
Mm. And you know what also I love? I love news and I love numbers. And we're going to do higher or lower to celebrate the fact that you are now a degenerate gambler in the state of North Carolina. Yay.
Yay. All the news. Didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander. 6 day with 5-1. You're home. Hey, there's a number. You're home for We Love Twitter Up. Do you give us 22 minutes?
And we'll give you 22 different card variations that we would be putting in an extra episode of Wild Card Kitchen.
Omaha.
Hi, gal.
Elevator.
Raz.
Solitaire.
Caribbean Stud.
Let it ride.
Now, that would be a fun variant. Get 5 cards, keep them, or trade them in, and then you get 5 different cards that you have to play.
Yes.
This is why you should have hired us for the show. Just saying.
Yep.
We'll be back right after this at 5-1. This is We Love to Interrupt. Play the music.
You may not think of flu as a serious disease, but complications can lead to severe illness, hospitalization, and even death. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends everyone 6 months and older get a flu vaccine every year. Vaccines are available at doctor's offices, pharmacies, and local health departments. Protect yourself and your loved ones this flu season. Get a flu shot today. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Brain Vision is presented by The Quiz with Dragon Balls. Yes, it's just like The Quiz with Balls, only you want the balls to hit you, and you want all 7 to hit you. Because if you get all 7 to hit you, the Eternal Dragon comes out and grants you a single wish. That is The Quiz with Dragon Balls, Sean Schemmel hosts. We miss you at Kuro Toriyama.
Aww.
Indeed. Gordon, if you would.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. Don't forget, he is on the air every Sunday with Rock Tracks with Doug Morris on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial, and of course all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com and on the Odyssey and WXRR Rock 104 apps. Okay, why is this bat gold?
No, it's also shaped in the CBS eye.
I see it.
Hit it.
All right, so the daytime Emmys are back on CBS this year, and they're back in June. So,
Unfortunately, it does not mean as much to us as it used to.
Yeah. The Game Show Awards, of course, as you know, have moved to the Primetime Emmy Awards. However, we do have all of daytime's favorite court shows, talk shows, and, of course, we have the possibility of somebody from the game show world being honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award.
So, let's make a deal on the show.
Let's make a deal. It would be nominated in the primetime categories now.
So it wouldn't be on the show.
No, it would not be on the show.
Well, I guess we'll watch it anyway. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to say let's watch something else because there are really good shows that are there. But
yeah,
I'm going to go cry in the corner.
Dude, Gordon, do you need a hug?
Yes. Give me a hug.
Okay. I'll give you a hug.
Okay. Oh, it feels so warm.
Well,
probably like Lansford.
What did I do to deserve this? Anyway, let's go into a date book, shall we? Monday, remember when The Price is Right did the Superfan special?
Yes.
Now we're going to do The Price is Right at Night Junior Superfan special.
I'm really liking this concept. This is going to be fun. This because, again, when we're really in this age, we probably ace every single game. So it's going to be fun to see other people do it.
Put it to you this way. If they can do the super fans one way, they'll do it another way as well. And,
hey,
you know,
we like the kids. We like the super fans. Let's get kids super fans.
We also have The Bachelor, The Women Tell All. Tuesday is the season premiere of one of you and Gordon's favorite shows, Physical 100. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, and then Wednesday is the season premiere of Top Chef. I believe this is Minnesota, right? I believe, or is it Milwaukee?
It is.
I think it's Milwaukee. This one. Yeah, this one is big because this is the first with Kristen Kish as host.
Uh-huh.
And
there's a bunch of new changes also, a lot of which I like.
Oh, yeah. Cannot wait for that. And we're going to talk. Hopefully it'll air earlier enough that we get to talk about it next week.
Yes, but let's talk about that app, though. And this is a late-breaking one that happened late tonight, or at least it was announced that there is going to be a special exhibit of the costumes of the masked singer called Behind the Mask, spotlighting the show and costumes that captivated America. It will it debuted today, and Gordon, it's still around to May 19th.
This is part of the Paley Center anniversary show, and if you remember throughout the years, they've done a lot of fun stuff, a lot of interactive stuff. They did a Price is Right exhibit where I won a Plinko ship. Woohoo! And so they used to put up the stuff, and it's always fun. And for them to have this out there, it's going to be fun. It costs around $25, including tax, to go watch. And if you're a Masked Singer fan, this is going to be fun for you to watch.
Now, how do we get these tickets?
If you go to PaleyCenter.org and you become a member, it's free. But if you want to buy the tickets, as I'm pulling it up right now for the little live research, you said it could be, let's say I wanted to go this weekend, and
you wanted to go this weekend,
and this coming weekend, it would, for adults, it's $21.50. It's on children under 12, it's free. And if you're a member, I believe it is free as well. So, yeah, you know what? That is a very smart way to use a weekend or an afternoon.
That would be a great
way to go into New York City, and that would be very smart.
This, however, is not smart.
That's dumb.
Are you smarter than Hailey Bieber's sister?
Hailey Bieber's older sister has been arrested for getting into a tampon tussle.
Yeah, you didn't need to hear that. Anyway, Well, now you know the story. Alea Baldwin is under arrest for assault and battery after allegedly throwing a used tampon at a bartender.
Ew! Ew! My God! Whoa! Oh!
Security footage, and this is according to Page Six, showed Alea Baldwin Arenow, forcing her way into the locked employee bathroom. Per the police report, bartender Haley Colley claimed to authorities that Baldwin Arenow had, quote, told her she needed to change her tampon and asked for a few minutes, which she was granted. A few minutes later, when Miss Colley again entered the restroom, the female removed her tampon and threw it at Miss Colley. This is when security stepped in and removed the female from the club. The footage, according to the police report, then showed Colley jumping back out of the bathroom before Baldwin Arenow was escorted from Club Elon by a bouncer with whom she fought and resisted the entire way outside. End quote. There's more to it, but it is definitely not suitable for this podcast.
Yeah, no.
And so, yeah, that's that. But we need, okay, but I'm thirsty, and this is Haterade. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, indeed.
Haterade!
Before you start the main course, let's have a little dishonorable mention, which is the reunion at the Traders where everybody went after the two people for that final, is that really necessary, vote off. And some egos were hurt and bruised and aw.
Yeah.
Well,
let's get to the main course.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, I always say.
Well, in this case, hate the player, but...
Okay, so DJ Noor is a big producer of Endemol content, among which we have Master Chef, Next Level Chef, anything by, oh, Lego Masters, anything by Endemol Shine North America. More than likely, he had his hands in it. We're talking about Master Chef Junior, Come Dance With Me, Wipeout, and, of course, Deal or No Deal Island. Details have emerged since he abruptly exited the company earlier this week. And again, all of these are allegations. All of these have trigger warnings. Do your own research. Form your own opinion. But according to sources, after 6 years, Noor was let go for violating company policy following an investigation into alleged misconduct. An outside firm was hired to examine claims of alleged harassment related to an incident during production and its aftermath. This from a spokesperson from Endemol Shine. As per our policy, we do not share specifics about employees leaving the company.
And then, of course, his lawyer states, my client was terminated for allegedly violating company policy. To be 100% clear, he vehemently denies having engaged in harassment of anyone in any form at any time in his career. Now, what you may have not mentioned, outside of the fact that we talked about it earlier, Master, you know, all the shows, he also was in, he actually joined the, from Three Ball Entertainment, which I believe is J.D. Roth's outfit, correct?
Correct.
Where he spent 13 years and he was EVP of programming and development and actually did such shows as Bar Rescue, The Biggest Loser, Catch a Contractor, and Beauty and the Geek. So this is a big, this is a big dude that got poop canned, so to speak.
A big fish that just got skewered.
Yep. So,
and the fish can now spawn somewhere. Where are we going?
We're going to Australia.
And this is big.
New Zealand.
This is big news. Hit it. This is big.
Go ahead.
With RuPaul Charles' blessing, Michelle Visage is now the host of Drag Race Down Under. And you have the quotes, right?
I do have the quotes. Let me bring up the quotes. Okay, so. In a statement to Variety, Visage said, as the RuPaul's Drag Race universe continues to expand, I am thrilled and honored to host Drag Race Down Under Season 4. From my early days in the Harlem ballroom scene to the past 13 years as RuPaul's head judge, I have loved and lived for drag queens. I do anything to help these extraordinary queer artists share their charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent with the world.
Gordon, can I put my cynical bastard hat on, please?
Okay, sure.
Is this a vision of things to come in the U.S.?
No.
Okay. So, because I think I know who would replace RuPaul if she stepped down.
Carson Kressley.
Nope. Jinx Monsoon.
Ah, that was my next guess.
Well, I don't know. I would think that if you're going to do that, it would be Jinx Monsoon as a hosting somewhere so that Jinx can give us the lay of the land in terms of that. But I can see Jinx Monsoon stepping in the UK version since Jinx may be sticking there for a while for another science fiction show.
True. Mm-hmm. True.
Disney Plus this May.
Yep. And, yeah. But we need a lot of media pros, and boy, do we have a lot of them.
Oh, my gracious. I have no idea what to do with all of these.
I got pros. I got pros. In different areas.
Before we get to those, we've got to get to the others. We said goodbye this week, sadly, to Deborah Byrd from American Idol, Steve Lawrence, and tonight, Robin Bernard, Crystal's sister from General Hospital. John Cena, Jimmy Kimmel, and Emma Stone were all at the Oscars on Sunday. Jimmy Kimmel, of course, was the host. He delivered a live review of his hosting, a former president posted as such. Anyway... Emma Stone, who was on In Search of the Partridge Family back in the day, won her second Oscar. Good on her. And John Cena was presenting an award wearing nothing but an envelope and an awkward grin.
And a modesty pouch.
Joel McHale says that he accidentally dislocated Chevy Chase's shoulder during Community. Sharon Osbourne exits the Celebrity Big Brother house because she was apparently a lodger. Tyler Cameron has a new show on Amazon. And if you are following the Genius Game on ITV and their latest posts on social media, David Tennant may or may not be the host, according to a cipher. And as we end, we wish all the best to Olivia Munn as she is recovering from fighting breast cancer all year. But unfortunately, John Cena did not do, when it comes to being the host of the week, John Cena did not do enough.
Because Gordon.
I'll see myself
out. Yeah, because Gordon and because Chico. We have the lineup for the final tournament before regular play, and oh my God, here we go. You ready? Are you ready, Gordon?
I'm ready.
Alan Lynn, Alex Jacob, Amy Schneider, Andrew He, Arthur Chu, Austin Rogers, Ben Ingram, Brandon Blackwell, Celeste Nucci, Chuck Forrest, Colby Burnett, Dan Pawson, David Madden, Dhruv Gar, Jason Zuffranieri, Jennifer Quayle, Larissa Kelly, Leonard Cooper, Lily Chin, Mackenzie Jones, Matt Jackson, Monica Chu, Pam Mueller, Sam Buttry, Sam Kavanaugh, Terry O'Shea, and Victoria Groce. Or is it Groce?
Gross.
Those are the 27, with one more to go, invited contestants to be in the Invitational Tournament next after the Tournament of Champions is over. One will be crowned, and I believe there will be two others playing.
Okay, at stake, $100,000 and an invitation to compete in season 2 of Jeopardy Masters.
Now, the top three were, what was it, Matt Amodio, Matea Roach, and James Holzhauer, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, now, Gordon, those are some monster hitters, aren't there?
There's some huge hitters. You've already seen the response from David Madden saying, yeah. So it's going to be great to see. What I like a lot about this is that it's going to be great to see some classic players tangle with some current players, tangle with some future players, and tangle with players that are now famous in other shows.
Yep, we have two chasers. We have the legendary Chuck Forrest, and you know what?
Well, let me ask you something. Could we have already been, is it possible we may be seeing someone that we hasn't been noticed and, shall we say, maybe playing now, if you get what I mean?
It's possible. I don't see Jason Block's name in there, though, so.
Sadly,
we did not get called.
Well, first of all, I had a better shot, no pun intended.
Why are you?
No, I did not, like, win a Tournament of Champions or get there. So, unfortunately, unless I, you know, beg harder, I ain't going. So,
we're not bitter. We're not bitter at all.
I'm not bitter at all. Can we go to the bleeping break, shall we?
Yeah.
Fine. We're going to hire. Oh, God, I'm so damn bitter. No, all joking aside, I'm not. Congratulations to all those people. That's going to be fun as heck. Act 3 game is higher or lower, and that's going to happen right after this. Let's go.
Has been brought to you by The Price is Right Octogenarian Masters Tournament of Champion Collection. We'll bring back 10 of the highest Price is Right winners, but they must be at least 80 years or older, and have them play these games, all the physical ones. Let's see if they can get past the race game in their walker. What about on the nose? Good luck with that hole-in-one game and many more. That is The Price is Right, Octogenarian Tournament of Champions Masters Edition. Professor Price is watching you.
You are a sadist, Gordon Pepper.
Yeah, you know what? You know there'd be an audience for that.
Yeah, and they're all watching reruns of the classic Price is Right with Bill Cullen. By the way, as soon as we perfect cyborg technology, he's the first to come back.
Yes, but as we've been talking about all show, we have initiated Mr. Alexander into the world of sports betting in North Carolina. Congratulations.
Yep. I have so far turned a $10 deposit into $300.
You're welcome, Nico.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, okay. But by the way, Alcorn State lost, you stupid idiot.
I'm sorry, that's not the bet that I told you to place $200
You told me to bet on Alcorn. Anyway, we'll talk about this later. But anyway.
I told you to put down $10. You put the $200 on, and you did not.
I didn't put $200 on anything. I put $10 on Alcorn State and lost. Anyway.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Wait. Before you do that... What exactly did you do to get that $200 bet into real $200 cash money? Remind everybody, please.
I have to go to my Fan Kings account here. Okay, here we go. I was given, because I am a North Carolina resident who's just signing up for the first time, $250 in Monopoly money. I used that money and bet on South Dakota State, winning $208.
Wait, who told you to do that again?
You did.
And so how much money did you make?
I made $208, which I used to put on another sort of free money bet and got another $50. And then...
Yeah, so I don't want to hear it.
And then I got two more and ended up with the $300 that I said earlier. But enough about my DTL. But enough about my degenerate gambling. Thank you, Gordon.
Yeah, there we go. All right, let's start higher or lower. Chico's going to start. Chico's going to give stuff. We're going to say whether or not the actual thing is higher or lower.
Okay. And remember, these are all hypotheticals. These are not real lines. Please, no wagering. All right. Our first line. All right. So season one of Jeopardy Masters had six players. How many players will the next Jeopardy Masters have? Go higher or lower than seven?
Lower. It'll be six. The six round robin worked perfectly. It's lower.
Yeah, I agree completely with Jay. It's definitely going to be lower. This is how you're going to do it. And plus, again, you don't want to oversaturate your product. Six is a great number.
I agree. Six is a perfect number. You don't want to oversaturate it, and you want to give everybody a fair shot. At this case, more is not better. More is just more. Lower.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
All right. I'll take the next one.
And I have the one after that.
What? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Deal or No Deal Island. How much is the winner really going to walk off with? Higher or lower than $2 million?
That is the exact number. That's the exact same second question I had.
With the number two. Wow.
What did number get out of my head?
By the way, it's going to be higher. The number is going to be about 4 million, not 2. So higher.
Well, I'm going to go with 3.5 million, and I'm going to say higher.
Yeah, I'm going to go with higher also. You don't do Deal or No Deal Island with that sort of thing without promising a huge number that has never been done in Deal or No Deal history. Definitely going to be higher.
Indeed. Okay.
All right. Let's go. One. I have one. RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay. Over the last few years, we've had five queen finalists and four queen finalists. I'm going to do this one. Is the final going to be higher or lower than five queens?
I'm going to go lower. It's going to be four, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, Jay, you should have put the line at 4.5. It's definitely going to be lower.
Yeah, 4.5. You're right. 4.5. That's right. Yeah,
it's still going to be lower.
Yeah, I agree with Chico. It shall definitely be lower.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay, and I agree with you, it's four. But right now, as of now, who are your final four at the moment?
Right now, my final four are Plain Jane, Q, The other two from the field.
No. It's Plain Jane. Saphiria Cristal is one of them. And I think Q is another one. And you could pick the fourth one that really doesn't matter. It'll probably be Nymphia Wind just because of her work. But it's going to be between Plain Jane and Q in the finals. Chico, next one.
I think it's going to be Plain Jane, Q, Nymphia Wind, and Saphiria Cristal. I agree with both of you on that. We haven't seen Plain Jane lip sync yet, so that will be interesting. You know, we haven't seen any of them do that, but we also know that those four are the ones with the votes.
She's that darn good. That's why we haven't seen her.
Or that darn safe, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Pico, next one.
Next one. Let's talk about Chico's favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Graziate seems to suck at women. How long will his blame... Yeah, by the way, the story behind that is he ran the same line on two women.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, how long will his blame, whoever it ends up being, last? Go higher or lower than 3 months after the finale.
Lower. I'll even give it 1 month. Not even. He doesn't seem
I'll
say
2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I'll say 2 weeks. The chemistry is just not there. Sorry.
23 days lower.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Jay, next one.
Yeah, I got the next one. Survivor. The Manu tribe. The Yanu tribe.
A dumpster fire.
It is. That's correct. It is a dumpster fire. They were going to go down to three. How many episodes before we merged into two tribes? Higher or lower than 2.5?
Lower. It'll be 2 weeks.
I actually thought you were going to go somewhere different, so I'm going to hijack this one and give a different higher or lower.
Yeah, because I think I know what your question is going to be.
What's my question going to be?
How many tribe members were going to be there before we get to emerge? Was that it?
No. What episode is the last? Is the one that the last Yanu goes bye bye?
Okay.
I remember it was in episode 9.
Oh, wow.
Lower.
Yeah, lower.
Mm. They're a dumpster fire, G.
Yes, they did get a win today, though.
Not really.
Did they, though?
They didn't lose.
Did they, though? Okay.
All right.
And Gordon, last one.
All right. Last one. Chico, don't hate me. Actually, yeah, you're going to hate me anyway. How many points is Duke going to beat North Carolina in the ACC championship match?
Negative
higher
six.
Or lower than 5?
Negative 6, lower.
By the way, just a reminder, this is the time usually that Duke beats North Carolina. If they don't beat them during the regular season, they beat them during the ACC tournament, which is why North Carolina hasn't won one in a while.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Gordon. Hold this broom and take this L, okay?
I'll say higher than 5, by the way. Jay?
What was the actual question?
How many points will Duke beat North Carolina in the ACC championship tournament?
How much would Duke North Carolina? Actually, I'm actually going to say they won't. I think North Carolina wins, and by 10.
See, Jason, you a real one. You a real one.
I'm not
one,
a real
Jason
one.
Ross.
I just know that, first of all, both teams are top 10, and both teams are going to get high seeds in the playoffs. I mean, the ranking.
By the way, I'm gonna open up the two brackets, one for everybody at 5-1, and then one for 2 weeks from now when we actually do the March Madness. So
you better send out the list this week.
I have a 3-day weekend. I'm gonna do it then. Okay.
Cool. Excellent. Beautiful.
All right. So that has been Higher Lower, and remember, bet with your head, not over it. Speed rounds coming up next on 5-1. Hang out. Let's go. Interrupt. WLTI has been presented by Farmer Wants a Dog. Because why lie? TV marriages end so easily, but the love of a dog is forever. That's Farmer Wants a Dog. Cesar Millan hosts.
Besides,
it has also been co-sponsored by the best matchup ever. Name That Tune and The Bachelor. We're playing Bitter Relationship. That relationship will end in 24 days. Jay, will you let that relationship stand? Will you think that it will end earlier?
I can break up that relationship in 7 days.
That is,
oh Lord, have
bitter
mercy.
Relationship. You wish you have less fun because we're watching it at Crystal Bees.
We're watching everything at Crystal Bees. It looks like, okay, you know what we're not watching at Crystal Bees. We're not watching a speed round. That's
yes.
Starting right now.
Okay, first of all, who wins the Jeopardy tournament and by how many games? It's 1-1 to 0.
Give me Troy Meyer. Give me 5 games.
Brian Henniger.
We wish.
Well, so I Troy Meyer. I'm going to say 6.
You know what? Make it the sweep in 6, because Troy, that second game proved a lot. Oh, boy. We'll see.
He is a beast.
Okay, RuPaul's Drag Race. Do we have a double elimination or just one, and who goes?
I think Mia Amon LePage is still in danger, and she is going to be the only one going next week.
I'm going to say it's going to be a double with Mia and Morphine going away.
I'm going to agree with Chico. It's going to be single elimination because the Drag Race needs their episodes to be filled. And again, based on the numbers, it is one of the biggest ratings, biggest rated shows on MTV right now. So they need those numbers. So you're not going to shrink the season. You're going to extend it. And I think Miha go, aya. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Survivor. Do we have a different tribal council this time around?
No. Yuna is going bye-bye. Thanks for playing. Here's your exit prize. Towards that one.
No, okay. I think Brandon being medevaced is going to change things a little bit. I still think Yanu is going to get poached out, but I think Nami is going to show up and Venus shall be leaving.
Yep. Oh, by the way, we eliminated another singer on The Masked Singer this week. Afghan Hound is going bye-bye. And throw out a guess. Just throw out a guess. Anybody throw out a guess.
Ted Cruz.
You wish, and so do you. No. The Afghan Hound is... Savannah Chrisley?
Ew!
Dude!
I know you were on another Fox reality show for a hot second, wasn't she?
Wasn't she on... No, she wasn't on Stars on Mars or...
Well, okay, she was on the level of Stars on Mars. Trust me.
She wishes she was on the level of Stars on Mars.
Anyway, moving on. Wheel of Fortune. Do we get $1 million winner this week?
No, but we've been getting some good. No, we're getting close. We're about 3 months away. The final tapings are soon, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep. And right now, Seacrest is doing B-roll for next season.
Yes, he was spotted in Hawaii. I guess he's doing other B-roll locally. I'm guessing. But yeah. Chico, do we have mail?
No, we don't. But if you want to send us some, you can do so at WLTIAGameshowNewsNet.com. Of course, I am on all social media at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am GSN and Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5&1net. That's the number 5, ANDONENET. And of course, we are all at Game Show News Net. On all social media, but back to 5&1net because we have to sell some soap here. Jay and I just launched the new episode of the BS Big Show, and VRM is still in therapy. Yeah, because he was charting all of the free agency action, of which there was many, and it has not let up since.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be back at it next week, but in the meantime, you can listen to this week's episode.
That's up now. Thank you very much. Hey, we're getting it up on time. I'm really appreciating that.
Out of myself.
About damn time. Of course, and of course, on Friday, I believe, we are going to head to the road to WrestleMania. Oh, and by the way, I will be at the Go Home show on April 1st at Barclays Center. I will just won tickets. I just won tickets from Weekly Vodka and the WWE. So,
by the way, that is not an advertisement.
Not an advertisement. Hashtag no ad. But we're going to head towards the road to WrestleMania. Lots more matches. And AEW signed another big name wrestler in the biggest open secret in wrestling. Mercedes Moné debuted in her hometown tonight. The former Sasha Banks is now in the women's division in AEW. And she is now the CEO of AEW, according to what's going on there.
Oh, good.
And so what's happening? First of all, Gordon, Mega Bowl, did that happen or is it going to happen?
It happened, and North won three matches, but the South holds onto the world title.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to that.
Yes.
Okay, and of course, ubatoday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. And finally, it was a thing.
Yes, We are past midnight here on the East Coast, which means the new episode is up online. This is part two of our three-part Lost in Translation for 2024. And part two involves three things: Las Vegas, food, and William Shatner.
Oh, God, that was terrible. That was awful. We reviewed that show. Good Lord.
We reviewed it back in the day. But yeah, Mike, Greg, and I are talking about Iron Chef USA. Not to be confused with Iron Chef America, which is vastly better. But yeah, all of that is at itwasathingontv.com. Thank you for listening.
So what's happening next week? And we've got another busy week coming up next week.
We do have another busy week. We're going to talk about more Survivor, more Drag Race, more Deal or No Deal Island. We're talking about Top Chef. The first round begins.
And the
Amazing Race. And we crown the new King of Quiz. Please let it be Troy. Please let it be Troy. But we will not find out until next week right here on We Love to Interrupt. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander. For everybody at 5-1, our time is up. And we thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Night.